Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest running podcast, now in our 18th year. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we sit down with Sal Simola, the president and CEO of Gun Lake Casino, on the remarkable casino the Tribe will complete phase 5 of an expansion, topped off with an aquadome designed by HBG Design. Today's podcast is brought to you by IGT's Money Mania, the fast-awarding linked jackpots that have hit over 250 times and counting. Give your players what they came for with IGT's top-performing themes. Bring IGT's newest wide-area progressive to your floor and get in on the mania. Visit IGT.com for more information. Oh, so tired. Wish I didn't know now what I didn't know then. Against the wind. We were running against the wind. Sal Simola has over 30 years of experience in gaming management with companies such as Greektown Casino in Detroit, Cannery Casinos and Warner Gaming in Vegas, and several Tribes and Riverboat Casinos. But it wasn't until Simola was hired at Gun Lake Casino in Wayland, Michigan that he really hit his stride. He was able to advise the owners on how to grow their casino while helping to diversify their economy. The Tribe is about to complete Phase 5 and the most spectacular of its expansion projects. He spoke with me from his home in Michigan during a winter storm in February. Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. My guest today is Sal Simola, the president and CEO of the Gun Lake Casino in Michigan. Sal, it's good to talk to you. I forget how long you've been there, but it's been a long time, and you've been doing such a great job that I don't think they'll ever let you go.
Yeah, well, thanks, Roger. I appreciate that. I'm blessed with great support from leadership and also a good executive team. I've been here now approximately 5.5 years. I came in, transitioned from their management company and Developer Station Casinos. Their contract was up February of 2018, and I came on October 2017 in preparation of making that transition. And it's been fun. It's been fun. We've done a lot of good things and more to come.
Explain what region of Michigan you're in. You're just south of Grand Rapids.
Yes, sir. We are just outside of Grand Rapids, located off of Highway 131, which is a major north-south artery for Western Michigan. Excuse me, so it's highly trafficked. We're about equidistant between Grand Rapids, which is the second largest city in the state, and Kalamazoo, Michigan as well.
Okay. So I'm mistaken thinking you're out in the woods somewhere.
No, I mean, our area is somewhat rural, per se, but in the time that I've been here, I've seen just a ton of growth and development in the area, whether it's residential, building, what have you. Even the airport, Grand Rapids International Airport, is undergoing an expansion as well. So there's a lot of things happening, you know, in this area. And Grand Rapids itself is kind of moving south, you know, towards Wayland, Michigan, which is where the casino is located. So, you know, they'll continue to benefit from, you know, from that growth as well.
Great. So currently you're experiencing a $300 million expansion. What are some of the elements of that build out?
You know, we are calling the expansion Phase 5. The Phase 5 expansion comprises of a 252-room Four Diamond Hotel. We don't have the hotel currently. A spa, additional food and beverage venues, expanded casino space, albeit slightly, and what we refer to as the Aquadome.
Okay. And what was the reason for this expansion? I mean, you've already had 4 phases prior to this one. Why did the Tribe think it was necessary for such a major project?
Yeah, then, you know, that's a great question. And, you know, the short answer is we're playing catch up. So back in the day, when the Tribe, you know, began this process and partnered with stations, at that time, there were a couple things happening that impacted the initial build. Specifically, you had there was a lawsuit underway that somebody locally was trying to challenge the tribe's right to be able to have this casino. And as you know, when you're dealing with tribal gaming, your recourse is somewhat limited. So that put a little bit of a hamper on, what was going to be built and committed, because, what happens if you don't prevail in the lawsuit, right? And to that point, that lawsuit went on for years and ultimately went to the U.S. Supreme Court, and the tribe ultimately did prevail. You had that overhang, if you will. And also at the same time as the project was being developed, you had the financial crisis underway.
Right.
So, those two things really impacted what was built initially. So like I said, we're playing catch up here now and, can continue to move in that direction. We think that, those factors obviously are no longer an issue. And when I first came on, I came on midway through what was characterized as the phase three expansion, which was, rather modest in the sense it was maybe 100 slot machine addition to the floor, but it was really about a connector building for a parking garage that was needed in anticipation of meeting the needs of future expansions, due to the increased traffic and also the depletion of existing surface parking.
Right.
And then phase four, which we just completed in September of 2021, comprised of three new F&B outlets, and began to set the table for phase five, so to speak. Once phase five, which is the current expansion, is complete, we'll still be smaller than two other successful properties in the area, despite Dunlake Casino and Grand Rapids in particular having much more favorable MSAs.
Right.
So, like I said, we're playing catch up and getting right sized, if you will, moving in that direction.
Okay, great. So I've been reading about the tribal leadership there at the Gun Lake Tribe, and it's very impressive. They're thinking beyond gaming. I believe they have a new mixed-use, non-gaming development also underway. Is this a path for the future for not only Gun Lake, but for progressive tribes?
Yes, I believe so. You're spot on. The tribal leadership here is extremely forward-thinking. I think that when you take into account that, they've only been on their own, so to speak, outside of the umbrella of being managed by a management company, they're much further along in terms of that, cycle of evolution, if you will, in terms of how they look at business and the future and so forth. So, with that, I believe that, tribal gaming enterprises in general, as they become more mature over time and realize that there's economic opportunities that they can comfortably participate in outside of, the sovereignty umbrella, they become more comfortable investing in that area, and you'll see more of that. We've already seen it in the commercial gaming, front. As you know, I was part of Greektown Casino opening, which was the first commercial Native American casino in the country.
Right.
And since then, we've had a few more, and I think it's just the beginning. As they get more comfortable and they meet their more immediate needs, in taking care of their citizens' needs, and this is for every tribe.
Right.
And, some tribes are larger than others, so, that may take longer than others and may be in a worse place to start off with than other tribes, and maybe in a better place. But I think ultimately, 10, 15, 20 years from now, there won't be a tribe that has gaming for at least 10 years under their belt that aren't, seriously considering other economic opportunities.
Sure, no question. So tell us about the Aquadome. That's fascinating me. And how does the tribe plan to utilize that?
We designed the Aquadome. The inspiration for that, if I may, I'll go back to Harrah's Atlantic City.
Right.
I was at the East Coast Gaming Congress, and we had a hospitality function in there. As you're probably aware,
sure.
That venue typically closes at 6 o'clock.
Right.
The pool closes at 6 o'clock in the evening, and then it transforms to either hospitality function or they'll have a DJ in there, you know, some nightlife on the weekends. And you know, when that pool was first built 20 some years ago, the intention was just to have a nice, you know, cool indoor pool venue in a part of the country that, you know, you needed it 9 months of the year, right?
Right.
And then as our business changed, the space did its best to evolve with that over time. You know, that one big large bar in the back, for example, used to be a jacuzzi.
Right.
Well, once after they got it up and running and other things happened, you know, throughout the industry in general, they had another bar. So the hospitality functions that they do, you know, from a food service standpoint are kind of limited. You know, it's heavy hors d'oeuvres that comes from the buffet next door. And it's a nice experience, but you can't do banquets in there, right? And you can't do a sit-down concert, per se, because of the sight lines and the pool being in the center.
Right.
So, anyway, long story short, you know, being out at the Congress 1 year and attending the hospitality function, I'm saying, man, this would be a great venue to have in Michigan.
Sure.
But at that time, we were focused on building a hotel, convention space, and the Aquadome, all three of those pieces. And we modeled that scenario. We modeled the scenario of just building the hotel and one or the other, just building the hotel by itself. So four different instances from a construction standpoint, from a financial performance standpoint. And without question, the Aquadome modeled the best. But what it didn't give us was that even playing field as it pertains to some of the other casinos in the area where they could do a sit-down concert, right, for somebody,
right,
you know, a little bit older, you know, that B-level entertainment, a couple thousand square, a 2,000 capacity event type of space and what have you. So looking at the Dome, the challenge was how do we get as much versatility out of that space as possible. So ultimately, working with the design team, HPG, we came up with the idea of the pools being pushed out to the center, not just one pool, but multiple pools pushed out away from the center, which opened up the center. So now we can have that sight line for those types of concerts. Or we could just make it a party and have a DJ, you know, your typical nightlife, right? And also do banquets. We built a production kitchen where we can easily accommodate up to 800 people, you know,
wow.
80 tent tops.
Yeah.
So, because as you know, what often happens when you build that 20,000, 25,000 square foot event space, it oftentimes sits unused. So
right.
We were just looking to try to create as much versatility and utility value out of the space as possible. And I'm really happy with the way that, you know, it's evolved thus far.
Sure, I can see collapsible cabanas in that space during the day, and then you take them down and you got a beautiful you know, meeting room and also you know, a banquet space.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. You know, you're talking about a venue that's 80 degrees year round, which, you know, as I look out the window today,
that would
be nice to have. So, you know, it definitely becomes a point of differentiation. There's no question about it. And yet, because of its other utility value, i.e. the banquet space, a concert venue, that it puts us on a level playing field, but it definitely is a market differentiator, no question.
Yeah, no question. So you mentioned you're working with HBG. I personally think they're one of the top firms in the business when it comes to design and construction. And what was it like working with them?
Yeah, I agree with you. There's a ton of really good firms out there. It's my first time working with them. Over the years, we've chased a lot of, you know, different opportunities. And even when I first came on, we were looking at some commercial acquisitions. So, you know, I had toured a few properties with them to get an idea in terms of, you know, what it would take to make, you know, some of these started properties more attractive and so forth. But this is the first time I worked with them. And, you know, one word has just been outstanding. They come totally prepared. Every meeting, every instance, it's very productive. It's just been a really great experience without question.
Yeah. Yeah, I did an interview with Paul Bell, and he seems to be really enthused about this project.
Yeah, good. I'm glad to hear that. And you know what? It shows when we meet with them. They are fully engaged.
Right.
Nonstop thrills meet fast awarding jackpots. Money Mania keeps hitting, now with over 250 jackpots awarded. IGT has expanded the Money Mania portfolio by adding two more themes. All four themes now feature two wide area progressive jackpot levels, an in-game player awareness messaging, an exciting look and respin jackpot bonus, and a bank-wide wheel bonus. These games are built for long play sessions and maximum excitement. Get in on the mania. Visit IGT.com for more information.
So, do you believe that this is going to make Gun Lake kind of a destination resort? I mean, people will come down for the weekend and or maybe you spend a whole week there in the middle of winter, as you said?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I don't know about a whole week in the middle of winter, but if you're looking for, you know, a break and, you know, maybe you don't have 3 days and two nights to go to Florida or Bahamas or what have you, the weekend business will be just profound. There's no question about it.
Right.
I firmly believe that. And I believe also that, you know, because of the Aqua Dome and that whole, you know, staycation type of concept, we'll get visitation from areas that folks will drive by other casinos to get here. You know, as I mentioned earlier, I worked on the other side of the state, and when we had the temporary casinos in Detroit, Firekeepers wasn't up and running yet, Soaring Eagle was, and you know, they got a lot of business from Detroit just for that simple reason, for people to get away for, you know, a day or two, and you're, you know, you're a couple 3 hour drive.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're going to be a couple hours from Detroit, we're 2.5 hours from Chicago, Indianapolis, and I think those will all be markets for us. You know, we have we'll have Name Entertainment in the Aqua Dome, and with the enhanced food and beverage venues that we already have from Phase 4 and what we're looking to add, we'll be a destination without question.
Sure. So tell us how sports betting and iGaming have impacted your property. I interviewed former Senator Brent Hyden a couple of months ago, and you know, I was told him I think Michigan is the one state that really got it right. So how much of an impact has that had on your operation there?
You know, there's two parts to that, right? There's the online gaming
right.
piece and the sports piece. So, you know, on the sports side, in anticipation of that, we had planned in Phase 4 when we built a new lounge, and the previous lounge was about capacity of 200 people. They didn't really have any food service, and it was just, you know, it was just too small for our market. At the same token, we wanted to provide food service with it as well. So when we built Phase 4, we expanded it. We actually doubled the size of it and made a self-contained unit. It has an outdoor patio, fire pit, its own kitchen, so we could do more profound, you know, food service in there. But more importantly, again, you know, trying to get as much mileage out of every dollar spent, we made the space versatile where it's surrounded by video throughout the inside of the venue, with the idea that, you know, if it's an entertainment evening, you know, we may do something with lighting and, you know, different cool things, you know, with that. Or if it's a sports, you know, event, as you know, Michigan State is largely followed in the area. Either one of those teams play that the space gets energized, you know, dramatically. So we wanted to create that as our sports viewing area. And adjacent to that, we have kiosks, and we have, you know, kiosks throughout the floor, but we also have a sports book counter. So that's the in-house piece. And then, of course, on the online piece, you know, everybody's doing it, you know, from a mobile standpoint with their phones.
Sure.
On the iGaming piece, you know, there's no question that Michigan has proven to be a strong market. And, you know, I think it's hard to look at the comps and say, okay, once iGaming came on, did that cannibalize the brick and mortar? And I say that because, you know, we had COVID, there was a really hot inflationary period for a while. I would think that over time, that delta will close, you know, a little bit. Online will continue to thrive, no question about it, and so will the brick and mortar. It's a totally different experience, right?
Sure.
And I think, you know, to a certain extent, it also introduces people to casino gaming that, you know, may or may not be as reluctant to go to a casino, or maybe the proximity,
right,
especially on this side of the state where it's less populated. So we'll see what happens over time, but, you know, so far we are coexisting nicely, and, you know, we have a good partnership with Parks Interactive, and we're continuing to move in the right direction.
Great. Have you been able to figure out how to attract some of those online gamblers into your property?
You know, it's every operator has a different deal, right?
Right.
Their provider. So, you know, without getting into you know, some aspects of ours, there's components that it makes sense for us to do that, and we are looking to leverage that, you know, in the most cost-effective fashion as possible.
Right. Great. So how much of the integrated resort model can tribes model? You know, certainly it depends upon the location of the market and how lucrative things like the convention and meeting space and those kind of things, hotel rooms, obviously. Is that something that tribes can do effectively, do you believe?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. And, you know, you're spot on. It depends on the location and the market, right? But, you know, you've seen that already with some of the properties in California in particular. You know, as they've grown over time, they're no longer a sprung structure, right? You could take probably 80% of the properties that are in California and plop them on the strip, and they could compete with anybody on the strip from a physical plant standpoint. So it just really depends on the market and you know, what makes sense for that area. But there's no question about it that there's room for some tribes more sooner than later than others.
Right, sure. So, you know, going around seeing tribal casinos for the last, 30 years, there's sometimes a real inclination to build cultural elements into your property. Sometimes it's overdone, you know, people that really don't really care, you know, but other times it's done very well. How are you doing that at Gun Lake?
Yeah, that's a great question. So already in existence when I came on, there were subtle nods to the tribe's culture throughout the casino. For example, there was a restaurant, the Sand Hill Cafe, and that was signified, you know, the Sand Hill Crane and the Sand Hill Clan in particular of the tribe. The light fixtures are reminiscent of drums. There's certain elements. We've done some things from a finish standpoint where there's what appears to be like a basket weave pattern on the wall, you know, baskets, and in particular, you know, a certain type of tree that's used,
right,
are very prominent, you know, throughout our tribe, and some of the baskets are just incredible. So, you know, we try to leverage some of those elements as well. And then for phase five, you know, we look to carry over a lot of the same things, and we have actually taken it up a notch where we formed an art committee where we're going to leverage, you know, some existing artists, you know, within the tribe who, by the way, have already been utilized, you know, in the current facility.
Sure.
You know, some different paintings, you know, throughout the property and so forth. But everything has been very subtle. In our carpet in the hotel, we've done some things that are reminiscent of like the area and a stream and some of the elements of the topography that the, you know, tribe has ancestral connections to. So that will continue in phase five, probably just as much or more than what's, you know, been done in the past. Like I said, it's subtle, and it's done, you know, always in very, very good taste. You know, our tribe is very proud of their heritage.
Sure.
And you really sense and feel that throughout the existing casino.
Yeah.
You know, I'm proud to say that without question, our casino is the cleanest that I've ever operated, and that's because of the tribe's commitment to the amount of, you know, folks that we have working in the internal maintenance team and keeping it that way.
Sure.
Because it's important to them. Yep. You know, and that may not necessarily be a cultural thing, but I think it just speaks to the level of pride that they have in their product overall.
Sure. So you're into your fifth phase now of expansion. Has business improved at the same level as you go forward? I'm sure you're expecting, you know, phase five to really jump up quite a bit.
Sure. No, absolutely. You know, as you know, one of the metrics we use is win per unit, and our win per unit has largely stayed the same despite increased capacity.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, we haven't seen much dilution there. You know, one of the problems in the past was because we were so small, I would argue that the experience wasn't as good as it could be. What I mean by that is it was very crowded, very tight. You know, they did the best they could to get as much product on the floor as possible, and, you know, trying to create, you know, appropriate, you know, egress and flow and what have you. But you know, we were really space constrained, and when we opened phase four, we only added 450 slots, and the overall expansion was about 75,000 square feet, which was the size of the original casino. And despite adding only 450 more slots, it seemed much, much larger because we opened up the floor dramatically, made the banks a little bit smaller, created more defined aisleways. You know, our idea right. of an aisle in the past was there's a little bit more room between this bank and that bank, so that's an aisle, right?
Right.
So, you know, the flow is much, much better, and folks that have, you know, come in, you know, after the expansion have commented on it. I mean, the response has just been phenomenal from our guests, both, you know, the food offerings and the overall flow and feel. And I'm proud to say that the expansion, if you were to come in here for the first time and, you know, experience the floor, if you will, you'd be hard-pressed to find where the existing and the new was throughout it. So we, you know, really expended a lot of effort, you know, on that. I didn't want it to feel chopped up. You know, carry the same finishes, you know, which is an obvious thing, but just an overall feel and flow is the other part of it, right? You can carry the same countertops and carpet, but, you know, may not result in the same effect. And I was really happy with the way that came out and the response that we've gotten. And I have every confidence that phase five will feel the same way.
Great. So is there a phase six?
You know, If it was up to me, I would say yes.
Yeah.
And what I see in phase six is an expanded spa, expanded back of house space, an additional hotel tower, another 200 rooms, at least, and what I refer to as an entertainment box. Right. And what that comprises of, and you know, I don't want it to sound like it's going to be a box, but you know, another part of the expansion that will comprise of a lot of other non-gaming amenities, right?
Right.
Whether it's a Kids Quest, our tribe has determined that they want this to be a family-friendly property, so that's consistent with that. A Kids Quest, maybe indoor Topgolf swing suite, maybe a Pinstripe, Lucky Strike type of bowling, you know, venue type of thing. Other non-gaming attractions, which is consistent with, you know, how we're positioning the property, and also I think what the area would support. And then I think after that, that would be the end. I think the property then will be right-sized for both the future and current needs. And you know, tribe will be in a really, really, you know, good place at that juncture. You're looking at, you know, 450, 500 rooms at that point, probably about 7 restaurants, the Aqua Dome, and 60 tables, 2,500 slots, 2,600 slots. So, you know, it'd be a good size for the market, and you know, that would be, I think, the last act, if you will.
Yeah, no question. Speaking of last act, you know, last time we had a drink together back at Maynard's in Margate, you know, you were looking to slow down a little bit, and you went the opposite direction here and sped up. Is this kind of your crowning achievement, do you think, for your career?
Yeah, well, you know, my wife asked me, she said, when are you going to stop? I said, as soon as I stop having fun. So,
yeah.
You know, it's I'm grateful to have this opportunity. It's been a lot of fun thus far, and you know, I don't know, Roger. I mean, I've been working full time since I'm 15,
right?
And you know, I'd have to have something to do, right? I gotta stay occupied. I know my wife won't have me stay home, you know, too much.
So, right.
I have to do something. Maybe start playing poker. I don't know.
Exactly. Well, Sal, congratulations on what you've accomplished up there. I think it's amazing, you know, taking it from a little small casino managed by another company and really ingratiating yourself with the tribe and really understanding what they wanted. And it's, I think it's pretty clear that you're delivering on that promise. So congratulations. Hope you enjoyed this week's podcast sponsored by IGT's Money Mania, which keeps on hitting, now with over 250 jackpots awarded. To learn more about how to get in on the mania, visit IGT.com. To read more about tribal gaming and the casinos in Michigan, visit GGBMagazine.com. Subscribe to GGB News to get all the news of the gaming industry delivered to your desktop every Monday morning. Sign up at ggbnews.com and use the coupon code GGB180 for a free subscription. Don't miss a single episode of the podcast. Subscribe on Amazon, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast. Against the wind, against the wind, against the wind, against the wind.